Blog Talk Radio.
More than I can say. I appreciate it.
Love you, sis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, your modern-day Shulamite woman as the owner and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And I am so blessed to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, October 28th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is your anointed host and facilitator, my sister, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank
you. You're welcome, precious.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Tonight's show on Wounded No More is going to be about prayer. I thought of this topic because I started thinking about the holidays. And when I started thinking about the holidays, I started to think about family. And when I started to think about family, I started to think about prayer. Many of us, these last two years, I would have to say, and this year included, has been rough for a lot of us, for a lot of different reasons, with, the virus and things like that. And some of us are adjusting well. But there's been a lot of loss all the way around. All of us probably at least, I know at least one person that has lost a close loved one since 2020 and 2019 in some regard. And I just, when I get in my place of prayer, the Lord deals with me about not just what I need or what I want, but the body, period, people in the body of Christ and those who are not in the body of Christ and how they impact our life, our community, our world, our city, and there are a lot of hurting people. So I said, this is going to be an interesting holiday. Not necessarily for us when I say, but there are people that have been touched, I guess you could say, by loss. And some of those people are in our circles, and some of the people are in circles of the people we're close to. I guess you could say we're all like a couple of degrees from each other, whether it's in your on your job, whether it's at your place of worship, or maybe in your very own house, in your neighborhood. We have all been touched, whether we realize it or not. As I take my walks, I try to take walks on a weekly basis, and, I pray for the neighborhood sometimes, and some people, I don't even know them by name or face in my neighborhood, but I pray for them nevertheless. I pray for God's peace, so we're just going to talk about prayer from a different little angle than maybe we're accustomed for, because God knows what we need. He knows who needs to hear this. He knows what needs to be, who needs to be encouraged, what needs to be said to encourage you about your prayer life, or just build upon your prayer life, develop your prayer life. One of the things that's really important to stay in a place of Wounded No More is to pray. Is to have a level of intimacy and closeness with the Lord, and prayer is one of them. I'm not going to teach you how to pray. I'm not going to say all these different ways to pray. What I will say is be open to how God leads you to pray, and, of course, go to the Word and see how Jesus prayed and the different prophets in the Old and New Testament. There are many examples, and when I say examples, I don't mean templates. I mean, you fill in the blank and do it as they did, but you can gain a lot of wisdom and knowledge and understanding about prayer in the book, in the Word of God. And there are always layers. Daniel prayed different than Noah. Noah prayed different than Paul. Paul prayed different than Jesus and different ones, but they all were praying to God the Father. And so I think it's really important for us to don't make it complicated tonight. If you hear something that sits in your spirit, make it your own. And what I mean by that is don't change the word. Don't change something to be comfortable with it. But however, whatever God is highlighting in this message tonight, that it'll minister to you and it'll be a seed that will develop you and put you in a place that you weren't before you heard it. And as I always say, the word is two-edged. So it cuts coming and going. There are many times when I present and that God begins to lay things on my heart and begins to generate
other messages and other questions and other streams of study for me. I'm thankful for that. I want to start off in the book of Luke, chapter 2, where there's an example of a prophetess who served God in her fastings and in her prayer, and her name was Prophetess Anna, and it's in Luke 2 and 37. And I just want to focus on that verse for a minute and kind of take it apart, how she served God in her prayer. Now, when we pray, and it's because she fasted daily, not daily, but she fasted and prayed, which is a form, and her prayer was a form of intercession for the people daily. She always would go to the temple, and she would get up, and she would pray for the people based on their needs, not her needs, but that was her serving God. That was her serving the people by serving God, by praying for them. Many times, prayer is like that. That was one of the ways I realized that God had called me into to the office of a prophet is I prayed all the time. And I think I was just led to pray. I was compelled to pray. I didn't even do it out of, at first when I started to pray a lot, I just didn't do it out of a place where I knew I just would talk to God. And he would talk to me back, and it just kept going. And the more that I studied the word and read the word and meditated on the word, there was another level of intimacy, but it was definitely different than it was. It just kept growing. That's all I got to say. Kept going. And I realized that there were things that I prayed for and people and situations I prayed for that I would never meet or see. But I knew it was the Holy Spirit telling me to pray. And that's why it got bigger, and it was a level of service. And when we pray, especially when we're praying from a place of healing, we have to realize that whether we're praying for ourselves or somebody else, many times it is a level of service. So say, and that does, it's usually not one time, beloved. It's usually not one time. It's usually more than once. If the Lord's saying, he'll sometimes give you instructions. I want you to intercede and pray for this often. Intercession is different than prayer. Prayer is like a petition. You ask for this, or you believe that, and you ask for certain things in faith. But in both cases, whether it's petitioning or intercession, there needs to be faith. Faith has to be present, and patience has to be present. And our faith, let me just stay on that a little bit, because I want people to understand, when you pray and you believe God, it's a powerful thing, not just because you get what you pray for, because it brings God joy. When we pray in a place of faith, it produces the joy of the Lord. He wants us to be in faith. Our faith, never underestimate when you just simply go to God and ask him, even if you're praying for groceries or you're praying for your boss to have a good day, pray in faith. God just really loves when we do that. And he honors it, and it brings us closer to the Lord. But then we have to have patience, too. And in intercession, when you pray in faith and patiently wait for the Lord, so many things come. I mean, you get all these little details a lot of times. So I remember when I first started to pray in intercession, I used to have a pen and paper because he would stuff becoming so quick. And sometimes it was just God just pronouncing his love over me or over the situation, and a verse would come up and I'd have to look it up. But that whole time we were communing with one another, and he was talking to me and I was listening, and he was talking to me and I was listening. So it was back and forth. And so it really was a time of communication, common union that we had in my intercession, whether I was praying for myself or whether I was praying for others. And that's really key. It is sacrificial in nature when you begin to serve in a place of prayer. You feel that it is, because usually your flesh is not going to want to pray at certain times of the day, or if you go to work all day and you come home and the Lord is just impressing it upon you, I need you to pray about this situation or that situation. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I can't even think straight. And so he'll say, pray in spirit. I just want you to pray. I just want you to touch, and we need to touch and agree in this place. And you just begin to do it, and you serve. You serve no matter what you feel like. That's why it is a level. I'm sure there were days Anna didn't want to go to the temple and pray. I'm sure there were days she did not want to fast, but she did it as a service. So it has nothing to do with whether you felt like it or not. It was a service to God. And there were times that it will feel sacrificial. And fasting sometimes can go along with those things. But listen, going back to the faith piece, one of the things I learned was once I started to pray a lot, I got into this rut. And this is a rut where I would just pray because I knew I was supposed to, but I was so disconnected in my prayers. No, I wasn't praying. I was hitting and missing and didn't even realize it because the Lord was, one time I started praying for something, and it had been something I prayed for more than once. And he just stopped me in my prayer. He said, where is your faith? Where is it? And I stopped and I said, Lord, I don't know. I really had to be honest and say, I don't know. I just thought you told me to pray for this. He said, I did, but where is your faith? Where is it? And in this case, I was like, I don't know. I just got so, it was become very habitual, you know, and there was no passion there. And I was just praying what he told me to pray, but it was just like, yeah, okay, I'll pray. I did it. So I like to call that type of mentality checking the box mentality. I did it. Don't let prayer be like that for you. It is really a time of consecration, a time of silence, sometimes for some of us, a time of meditation. Sweet meditation, sweet communion with God. It can be a time where you're just getting rest. Sometimes I can't even, I don't even open my mouth. I just cry. And I just cry. I just weep. And he usually tells me, am I weeping for myself or for others? Because I've been praying for a while, and I usually can tell it's when I'm praying for myself or weeping, rather. And I'm going to tell you what that weeping is about. According to... I've been doing some word studies lately, and one of the things that happens when we weep, it has to do with us being encircled by the word of God, according to a Hebrew word called Haggah. And when we begin to meditate, it's the word encircling us. We begin to meditate in the word. So say you go to prayer and you start praying the word, and all of a sudden you get this heaviness and you begin to tears. And those tears really express the heart and mind of God. Now, there is usually a verbal expression on top of that. The tears, I think that, you know, it goes back to God saying, don't pray unless you know where your faith is. And also, don't get into this place where your prayer life becomes just an emotional release. Because prayer is a job. And prayer work, and it does change things. But you have to have the mind of Christ, which means the mind of God. And like I taught on Monday, is be connected and articulate about what you're doing, and be aware. Don't be in some fog in some other world where you can't hear God talk to you practically about things, about your thought processes, and so on and so forth. That you're so emotionally out of touch, He can't talk to you about what your tears are producing. And what they're for. So that will allow you to pray in a place of authority and dominion, and it's clear and it's practical and it's felt. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody who you could tell was praying the heart of God? It wasn't the language. It wasn't because they had all these letters behind their names, PhDs and doctor of this and doctor of that, and they were well-spoken or they were charismatic. You could see that they were really praying the heart of God, and it was in a sincere place, and you could feel something just move, something just change. I don't know what it was, but it was. And so, but at that same time, when you feel God really moving in prayer, or you feel the strength and power of God in that prayer, that's because intercession has taken part, and there is a release, not just atmospheric, where it may be just a healing release or peace release, but you can pray that God has come and surrounded us. He has come and surrounded us. We are safe, and He's made that manifestation, right? And so based on what you're praying for, which sometimes pray with your eyes open, because sometimes God will show you things to bring His point across based on what you're praying, to pray in a place of knowledge, to pray in a place of understanding. And it's really key to be plugged in, not just emotionally, So if there's weeping, if there's heaviness felt, there's a reason for it. And so these are the types of things that let you know that when you get up and pray, sometimes, you know, I can pray anywhere I am. I could be in the car. I could be walking around the house doing laundry. I could just start to pray. But I know that when God tells me to get on my knees, that's for a reason, for me. So you know how God can really talk to you. What is he saying to you in your prayer life that has changed, that has been different? Lately, you know, when God begins to tell me to get on my knees, that's about submission and something, right? By the time I get on my knees, I'll know more than likely why this new posture is important. It's not just about submission, but the submission to what, as it pertains to what God is having me pray about or for or to realize. So you see, there's a lot of things going on. Before I pray, while I pray, and after I pray, there are things going on. And you need to be aware of what those things are. When we begin to get into the heart of God in prayer, just understand that that's a dwelling place, and that's our temple, which is our actual body, because the Holy Spirit is within us. And so we begin to pray for healing. Sometimes it becomes like we make declarations. We begin to tell God who he is, and there's affirmations as well. And sometimes there's confessions of the heart and things. That's why a lot of times before we go to prayer, go and pray, there's a level of repentance. He said, I just want you to sit here and repent. Don't ask me for nothing. Don't, you know, say nothing. Repent. Repent. Agreement with that thought process or that action or whatever it is before me. Verbally, repent. So that when you get up from here in this place of prayer, you can apply it in your life. Repentance. Oh, Bishop, I want to talk about that next year probably, because that's a huge topic. Repentance. Oh, but sometimes that happens in corporate prayer when you're praying with others or when you're praying with your family, and you'll hear that sometimes come up, especially when it's a lot of intercession. Repentance may come up. He may tell you to repent privately, but I notice the strongest the strongest action God has made a lot of times is corporate repentance is huge. Corporate prayer is also a powerful thing as well. But that repentance is a big piece. And I think that it's about by the time God begins to deal with us about repentance and prayer, there's something that's got to move so God can move. There's something in his way. And it's usually our hearts and our mindsets that are in the way for God to move the way he needs to move. When you think of the power of prayer, I think of Paul in prison and how the saints were praying that they would be released, and angelic intervention happened at that point where they were released from prison because of the prayers and intercessions of the saints. And prayer is powerful. It changes things. And it helps us to stay in touch with the agenda of God and based on a heart and mind thing, not just praying template prayers, not just praying hit and misses and blanket prayers, like Bishop says, that just cover it. Oh, that just covered all of it. No, that didn't. We got to be specific. It's really important. And so many times as it pertains to, I think I would consider petitions kind of like blanket prayers. I think there's a place and time for them depending on where you are. But as a servant of God, as a servant leader, I think we're called to intercession, period. And I think that we have to be willing to let the Lord lead us in intercession for specific things and be patient. First, and then also when I talked about your faith, I want to also talk about your identity. The prayers of a righteous man, the effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now, bear with me while I look this scripture up really quick, because it is one of my favorite prayer, one of my favorite verses, because it really just talks about who you are first. The effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so I like to read it in the, it's in James 5 and 16. I like to read it in the Amplified, because the Amplified, like I tell you, you guys, it has a certain way of just amplifying it, bringing it out. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another, comma. So we pause for that. That you may be healed and restored. Therefore, I'm going to read it again. Confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God, not you, by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. See, it just says everything else. It's just the sentiment is all packed in there. This is in the Amplified. James 5 and 16. Let me read it again. I'm going to go a little bit slower this time. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, and your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Right? The heartfelt, remember we talked about the heart, and persistent prayer, be patient and be consistent, of a righteous man can accomplish much. Your prayers are not in vain. It accomplishes much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. I love all the adjectives used. I love all the nouns used in that version. It just says it all for me. It says it all for me. James 5:16 for me. And so let's go back to that. Why did I bring that up? Because when, as servant leaders, or even before you become, you know, consistent in your call or you know who you are, people struggle with their identity when they pray. People struggle with, am I really saved? Or I messed up today. I hollered at the kids today. Lord Jesus, I'm not righteous and all this. And they just go through all these motions and these emotional gymnastics before they can even get their mind right to pray. They're so distracted by their own selves or their own failures that they stop to think that the effectual prayers of a righteous man. I remember one time God brought that verse to me. He said, are you not righteous? And I said, yeah. He said, okay, so your prayers are effective. Stop. That's all he said to me. He didn't even quote me the rest of the verse. He said, so stop. So where's your faith? Where's your faith? It should already be there. So not only are you righteous, you are loved by the Father. You are enabled. There's grace for you to pray, and you're full of power. You're full of power. Remember that verse, dynamic. It's effective by God. The Lord is in within you. So it's dynamic and has tremendous power. Don't underestimate for one second the power of your prayers in the right mindset. Your faith is there. Your patience is there. You're persistent. Just like Anna was. She was persistent. She was consistent. She was dedicated to serving in her prayer for others, and her intercession for others. Listen, our prayer, when we pray from the heart of God, in the mind of God, it is a very secure place, and his word encircles us and makes us safe. And so when you begin to dwell on the word of God before you pray, if the Lord has led you to a certain passage or scripture, and you begin to meditate on that, and you begin to talk to the Lord based on what he's saying in his word, it creates a tremendous place of peace and focus for you. And when I say that, I really mean it, because I mean, if you say, I only got 20 minutes before I go into this job, I got 20 minutes. And Lord, what do I pray? And all he would say sometimes is just be still. He's, I just need you to be still. I just need you to, you know, receive the love that I have for you, so that when you're in your job or when you're in your home or ministry, you're loving on people because I've loved you. Prayer is it says pray without ceasing. I think it also has to do with we are being the house of prayer. everywhere we go, we are a house of prayer. Does it mean we're always acting weird and praying and out loud? Or that? No, I think it has to do with our demeanor, our posture spiritually, our level of peace, our level of focus on God and the people that we serve. And we stay prayerful. We don't act weird or out of touch. We just practically ask the Lord to show us what is needed in the place at the time. Our prayers go before us. Our prayers go before us. So God is dealing with you about something that's going to happen next year or the next 2 years, or he's trying to get your attention about preparing for things. And you just don't see it. But your prayers go before you. I'm telling you right now. If you are worried about something or concerned about something or challenged by something that hasn't happened yet, first of all, stop worrying, because you can't worry and pray. Stop worrying and begin to pray in the Lord and ask him to, just ask him and be led in how you pray. But immediately your prayers go before you, and he goes before us, and he makes every crooked place, every place that is dim, straight. Every place straight. He goes before us, and our prayers and intercession do the same thing. Remember what I said, how they encircle us, and they keep us in a sound place, a place where we can study, meditate, and read the word of God and live it and become that sanctuary that the Lord is talking about, that the song was talking about right before the show, but also become a house of prayer. Now, there's several things. Well, there's two things I'm going to talk about tonight that has to do with what happens before you pray. And we talked about faith being there, but also your faith should be there. There should be patience in what you pray, and you waiting on God's answers, not your answers, not some answers from man, unless God uses man to answer the prayer, which he does. But also it talks about forgiveness. When you come before God and pray, forgive first. Let's look that up, because that's a really key one. Only because when we're praying, and either we're doing blanket prayers, or we're just, like I use myself as an example, praying in a place where we're just not connected and we don't know where our faith is, you better believe that if needed, God will bring up the issue of forgiveness or unforgiveness, right? And that's key, and I'm going to try to unpack that the best I can. When you stand praying, it talks about forgive, right? That is found in Mark 11. And so we're going to go to Mark 11 and begin to read from the Amplified Version, and it's Mark 24 through 26. Jesus is speaking. Okay, so in the morning, I'll start at verse 20. In the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw the fig tree that had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered." Jesus replied, "Have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask in prayer in accordance with God's will," see, it always has to go back to God's will, God's purposes, "believe with confident trust that you have received them, and you will be given, and they will be given to you." Whenever you stand praying, this is one. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So that makes it, that's pretty plain. I mean, he's talking about their faith, but he's also talking about doubt. Can't doubt in your heart. You just have to trust God. But, you know, and he's telling them this so that they won't allow any breaches to be in their lives. So when we go before God and pray, everybody doesn't know, oh, they need to forgive this or forgive that, but he does. And many times he's saying, you know, forgive me, forgive that person or that issue. He said, because I'll forgive you. And I'm sure somebody needs to forgive you for what you've done. So forgiveness is important when we pray, especially if sometimes, you know, when the Lord begins to talk to us in our prayer life before we even formally get in that place of prayer. But like I said, God talks to me all the time. And I know many servant leaders can say God is talking to us all the time, whether it's through his word or just when I'm doing any everyday life, he's speaking to my heart and speaking from his heart to my heart and to my mind. And he'll tell me if I have an offense, or the Holy Spirit will bring something up and say, you know, I noticed that when this person said this or that today, you had a certain reaction. Maybe you need to forgive. Maybe you need to let that thing go. Why is that still bothering you? Why is that still there? Is your heart hard in that place? And so either you be in denial about it, saying, you know what, Lord, thank you for showing me that. Thank you for shining the light on that. I can't come before you and, you know, act like it's not there when it is there. Help me. And like I said, that's when the level of repentance, I talked about repentance, I talked about forgiveness, I talked about having faith, and I talked about being patient. Forgiveness is a big, big piece. Our prayers can be hindered when we don't forgive. And that's a perfect, you know, segue into me announcing that I will be teaching on forgiveness the whole month of November. The whole month will be about forgiveness and will be about unforgiveness. We're going to take it from the word and different things that God has put on my heart about this issue that has hurt his heart, that has grieved him. We see the manifestation of unforgiveness every day. And I'm just talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about our culture and our society and the country. You know, we don't take our cues from the world. We take it from the word of God and how we treat each other in our relationship goes back to unforgiveness. How can you really pray for somebody you got an issue with? You know, are you really praying are you really praying God's heart and mind for them when you got an issue with them? And that's really what it came down to, praying. And there'll be a whole lesson where I'll just teach about prayer and forgiveness and take it a little bit deeper for you all to help you understand and self-examine yourself about where you are and where you need to be and where God can help you at. I think confession is good for the soul, but it's like God wants us to repent as well of things. That means turn away from the ideology and the reason why you had that in your heart in the first place, or why you were acting this way in the first place. And God will lift that load from you. Anything that gets in the way of us connecting with God for others is a problem and can ruin our life as it pertains to our relationship with other people in our life. So not to get off on a tangent, but I will be teaching that all next month. And I think it's really important because as we look at the holidays, which is how I started off, our relationships with friends and family is important. And healing is important. This show is called Wounded No More. We want to stay. That's a lifestyle. You have to be committed to staying healed, whatever it takes. But just tonight specifically, we're just talking about how prayer can help you do that. As it pertains to your belief. Okay, so we talked about a couple of things that get in the way of our prayer life. We talked about unforgiveness. We talked about praying blanket prayers. We talked about unforgiveness. I just said that. But I want to talk about another thing. Fear. Fear gets in the way of how we pray. Anxiety and fear. I'll just talk about that because anxiety is one of those words we hear a lot these days. God gave me a revelation about 6 years ago that not only were there times when I couldn't locate my faith, but there were also times when I would just be praying because one of the defense mechanisms that I had based on fear was just pray. But I hadn't dealt with the fear. And the Lord was dealing with me about fear. When you seek the Lord, you expect to find him. But if you have fear, you're not really seeking the Lord. You're just seeking relief. You know, you're seeking for that burden to be lifted off of you. You're not really seeking answers. You're not seeking strength and courage or insight or to connect. You're seeking relief. That's it, in a place of fear. Sometimes you're seeking to be hid as well, hidden. And depending on what you are praying for, God can specifically tell you where your fear may reside, where it may manifest in your prayer life. Maybe the things you don't pray about are because you have fear. You don't pray about certain things because fear is there. This can be a big hindrance. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit can lead you to know what to pray about. If God has said, pray for this, and you said, well, I don't really know how to pray for that. Can you show me, Lord, how to pray for it? And he will. I kid you not, he definitely will, if you mean it. But to say, I don't know how to pray for that certain issue is not enough. After a while, it becomes a place of anxiety. You see what I mean? Because you haven't prayed about it, and you haven't even asked God how to pray for it, about it. He's there to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to intercede, to teach us how to listen, to teach us how to expect, to let us know where our faith is, if it's there at all. If you say it's there, Lord, but I know I need to believe more. He might say, yeah, you do, but I still want you to pray. Just pray. Don't pray from a place of fear. Don't try not to pray from a place of anxiety and restlessness, because especially if you were raised in church, you do this thing because you know you're supposed to do them. But you have to realize prayer is a tool. Prayer is a weapon. You hear me? And so if you don't know how to use that prayer, if you don't know how to use that weapon or that tool, what good does it do you? So don't pray in a place of fear. It's just like somebody learn how to use a knife, but they're afraid to use it. It's like, put that knife down until you get confident and know that you're willing to learn how to use it. Or same thing, getting behind the wheel of a car. You're afraid. Your nervousness will get you in an accident, you know. And so prayer is like that too. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a tool. And so if you're dealing with fear, and some people are not even dealing with the fear of not being answered by God. They're dealing with their own confidence. I don't know how to pray. God will teach you how to pray. Go to the Gospels, when Jesus taught them how to pray. Just start there. That's just my advice. But also just listen to the Lord and say, I don't know how to pray about this situation. I got fear, Lord. Teach me how to pray. When it comes to our family members or when it comes to something that's really dear to us, sometimes that anxiety and fear can rise up and it's so strong and it just shuts down any faith or any trust that we may have. You know, God is, once again, you have to realize who you are in Christ. When I go back to James 5 and 16, it talks about the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but also know that you are righteous, you are loved by the Father, and you have power. So your prayers make a tremendous difference. So God didn't give you that spirit of fear to pray about certain things that he's been prompting you to pray about, but that he's giving you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind when you pray. Sound disciplined mind, which is also the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Sound disciplined mind when you pray. He hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So if you're praying about an assignment, if you're praying about a call in your life, praying about the next step, first of all, be patient. God doesn't always give you the answer right away. Also, don't doubt God. Learn to be conditioned to know his presence so that when he gives you the answers, you know it's God, not you or somebody else. I hear that a lot. I prayed for God for this, but I didn't know if it was God or me. I said, okay. What I usually try to help somebody with that type of question is you have to be still and know that he is God. That means get closer to him, get in his word, and you'll recognize when he's speaking to you. you're recognizing he's trying to point you in the right direction or giving you instruction. You can even say, just like Samuel did, God, is that you? Or, you know, is that you, God? I mean, Samuel kept going to Eli asking him, was he calling him? And he was like, no, Samuel. So Eli said, that's God calling you. So say, here I am, Lord, you know? And so when God does begin to talk to us, build relationships, build call and response. Like if he's calling you, respond to him. If he's dealing with you, say, Lord, what is it that you need? Or help me to listen. I'm listening to you, Father God. I'm here. Am I clear? Talk to him. Talk to him back. That is another part of your prayer life. It is really a relational type of a tool. It is an intimacy building type of tool. It is important in these times that we live in to know that you can pray. People call us, you know, I don't know. Sometimes people say you're a prayer warrior. And I used to be called that a lot, and I don't know about that term, but I feel like believing God is a weapon. Your faith is to be reckoned with when you believe God. That's warriors. We all are warriors if you want to be, depending on what the issue is. Not just in code, but in everything. So we're fighting because there's a serious war going on. We are in warfare in all kinds of different ways. So I want to end this lesson. I could go on and on about this subject, but I won't. I might take some time next year to just talk about prayer. But like I said, this is the last lesson for October, and what prompted me to pray, to talk about prayer was we're coming into the holidays and almost towards the end of the year. There's always stuff to pray about, you all. There's always something to intercede about. And whatever God is saying to you specifically, don't compare it to whatever he tells somebody else to pray. Stay in your lane. He needs everybody where they need to be to hit it from all angles. Stay in your lane and believe that God has told you to pray about maybe foster children, or maybe he's telling you to pray about the government, or maybe he's telling you to pray about all the public schools all over the country. Or maybe he's telling you to pray for a single mom. Whatever it is he's telling you to pray, believe him, take him at his word, and press in. And don't get tired yet, because there's so many things to pray and pray about. Don't be as intercessors, servant leaders. Many times we get pieces of things and instructions. So there's a lot there. It's not just, I prayed for this 2 weeks ago and I ain't praying. No, usually you're going to have to go back and revisit it. So I want to end with encouraging you and edifying you based upon you are God's weapons, we are his weapons, we are his tools. And prayer is one of the things that we use to mend relationships and to facilitate healing. Father God, I just thank you today for you speaking clearly and loudly, Lord, to all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, today that you break up any fallow ground where we need to just pray more and become more consistent in our prayers and persistent in our prayers. And be hankered down to listen to you. Listen to you so that you can strengthen us in our prayer. Listen to you so that we can be more encouraging, Lord, and that we can gain some level of intimacy and relationship with you. And at that point, we'll be able to gain some skill to do the same for others as it pertains to building right relationships. For those who are hurting tonight, Father God, I ask for your healing hand to be over them, Lord. For those who are confused, I thank you, Lord, today that they have clarity. For those who are restless, Lord, give them peace, and, Lord, increase our faith. Help anywhere where our faith is weak or non-existent, Lord, today. And I thank you, Father God, today. You're God of all things are possible because of you.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible with you, Lord. It's impossible with man, but not with you. And I just thank you, Lord, today as we read your word that we begin to remember who we are and rise up in this area of prayer and intercession. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the anointed voice of Prophetess Vanessa Carver, and this has been Wounded No More. We pray to God that you truly receive something, that empowered you, impacted you, activated you to live a more abundant life in Christ right now. So on behalf of myself and Prophetess Vanessa Carver, we want to wish you a continued blessed evening. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, Vanessa. Beautiful job. God bless you.
Good night. Thank you. God bless.